The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Shasta County. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. I'm happy to have you here with me. Today is the first day of December, December 1st, 2024. Appreciate all of those listening live, either on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, or listening on KCNR1460.com. As always, this show will be archived, and it will be available by usually by noon. A lot of times it's even up by 11 at VoteKevinCry.com. That is VoteKevinCry.com. And all of my past shows are archived there. Also, if you visit me on Facebook, VoteKevinCry on Facebook, you can see videos I post. I will be doing another live video tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. at Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. And what I would encourage you to do is if you have some questions or things you'd like me to talk about, please send those in to me, you know, message me, text me, even put maybe just a post in the comments to the Vote Kevin Cry Facebook page, and I will tackle some of those. I mentioned this past Monday that I was going to be talking quite a bit about elections today, which I still will. I have quite a list of things that I do want to get through, but I will be taking calls today. So if you want to write this number down, 530-605-4567. Again, that number is 530-605-4567. And when I started this show in my campaign in 21, I started the show in 22. I'm sorry. I started the show in 22. So, during that time, I used to, take calls pretty much all the time. It was more of a, open forum for people to call in and ask. So that's what I'm going to do a little bit today. If you have some questions, because I haven't been doing coffees and we are in that holiday season, so schedules are pretty crazy. So if there is something you want to ask, and again, I get this question from people that listen outside of, not even just our region, but our state, they say, hey, can I call in even though I'm in, you know, New Mexico or Texas or Arizona? And I say, absolutely. And this would be that show to do that. If you want to call and ask a question or even just comment about something about Shasta County, I will ask you though to keep your comment or question to about, you know, a quick question. Then I'll give the answer, off the air just to keep it rolling. But, the weather for the week, I always get my weather at Weather NorCal. Again, that's not a paid sponsor. That's just my friend Mike Kruger, who runs and operates that. It's going to be in the 60s all week, so it doesn't look like it's going to be below 65. Doesn't look like it's going to be above 69. So between now and next weekend, it's going to be in the mid to high 60s, which I think is great. Again, if we had weather like this all the time, we would have, you know, 500,000 people wanting to live here. And so I like the extremes. I like it when it's really cold, and I like it when it's super hot, because it does keep our region to a little bit different size, just because it's not Southern California weather. And speaking of Southern California, I was down in Pasadena a couple weeks ago or a week and a half ago for CSAC, which is a California State Association of Counties conference. And in one of the afternoon sessions, so I guess we'll just jump in. One of the things that I want to touch on a little bit is just I want to wrap up this past year. I will have another show or two, I guess, before the end of the year. But this is one where I'm just really, we're in that thankful season. This is Thanksgiving, obviously. And I'm just really thankful for all the people I've met, all the people that have stood beside me. I'm really thankful that people that didn't even, that don't agree with me even to this day, but we can still have intelligent, intentional conversations to say, hey, I hear your point. I don't agree with it, but I can hear it and I can respect it, and we can still have a conversation, because that is becoming more and more lost. But back to being in Pasadena at the CSAC conference, we had governor candidates speak to our afternoon session, executive board meeting, which was really what that is all 58 counties have a representative. A lot of times between, you know, mid 40s, low 50s show up. Ironically, LA County was there this time. It's not very often some of the bigger counties are there. San Francisco's usually there. Sacramento's usually there. But LA, San Diego, some of those don't always show up. So we did have a rep or a supervisor from LA County. So that was it was great to talk to her and meet her and be able to spend a little bit of time with her. But we had three governor candidates come and speak. Two of them spoke at the very beginning, and then one of them, Antonio, I can't remember his last name, starts with a V. He was the mayor of L.A. for, I believe, 8 years, quite a while ago. And I think he ran against Gavin Newsom, but he's running again. But the second candidate, when she spoke, Betty Yee came up and spoke about unity, about listening to other people's opinions, moving forward, but yet there was still this huge air of it's going to be scary in January when the new administration takes over. So it was kind of like a little bit talking out of both sides. So I hit my little buzzer and made a comment and said, hey, you know, you gave to my recall, and but you're talking about unity. So at what point do politicians are accountable for what they say, or at what point are we supposed to actually, really just let stuff go? And I was much more articulate. You could see it online because I recorded it. And I had some supervisors, especially the LA County one, reach out, pull me aside in between and say, man, that was awesome. That was great. That took some, we'll just say, fortitude of a certain anatomy. But, I just said, I'm just tired of it. Like, after 2 years, you get people that say stuff. And again, I mean, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I'm a little bit brazen at times, but I know what I believe. I have strong convictions. And when I believe something, I just can't sometimes let stuff go. And that's been to my demise at times as chair, because I have a really hard time of just not calling stuff out. That's why I think for a lot of my players that have played for me in different sports, men, women, boys, girls, etc., I've always been a player's coach. I mean, I have my players' backs, but at the same time, I can be very critical and I can be very hard on my players, and I'm very hard on myself. And accountability is just really, really important to me, and I'm working on letting some stuff go. So one of the things, last year, or at the very beginning of this year, becoming chair, it wasn't the because I'm really reflective. During Thanksgiving, like what our family does is we – this was actually the smallest one we've had in quite some time because everybody was traveling with all the kids, and not my wife's part of a really big family, the Rogers clan out in Shasta Lake. So there's just a ton of them, and her parents, had three kids, but her mom's, my mother-in-law Tammy, her siblings all had a bunch of kids, and they've all had a bunch of kids. So we've had well over 150 people at Thanksgiving with friends and relatives before. But this one was really, really small. But we still take that time to go around and everybody says what they're thankful for. And one of the things that I'm very thankful for in this whole last 2.5 years is just the opportunity to serve Shasta County in such a different capacity and be made aware of things about my community that I just didn't know. And I would never consider myself connected, maybe now a little bit, but I still like kind of cringe at that because that to me speaks of like this elitism kind of thing. I've always trained, city managers or the Simpson University's, president or different people in the area. So I've trained so many people's kids. I've known a lot of people, but I've never really cared about the political side. So I'm just thankful for the things I'm getting, exposed to and being able to, I think, right the ship. And I'm really proud of a lot of the work we've done. One of the things becoming chair this year, spent the first few months obviously campaigning against that failed recall attempt, which was bogus, but spent a lot of time on that. And then by the time we start looking at the summer, we get into budget hearings. And budget hearings take up pretty much the whole month of June, but the prep for that started in April. And then May, and then of course we had those in June. If you don't remember, in the past these board budget hearings would pass in an hour, and then my first year, I'm sorry, in 22, they took a few hours, and then it took I think it was maybe a day in 23, And then this year, we scheduled it over four where everybody came in. It was much more scheduled. So that took a lot of preparation. So by the time we get through all of that, we're looking July, and then you have summer, and then August. So we've really been working at a pretty good clip. And I've been very thankful for CEO Dave Rickard, County Council Joseph Larmer, and their respective teams to get as many loose ends tied up as possible, because going into the new board, which it looks like we will have three new board members come January, and we're really and one of the things I'm really trying to do is get as many things tied up as possible, so the new board doesn't have to be caught up of litigation or lingering issues that may be this board or even the board prior to myself and Supervisor Kellstrom don't have to deal with. Because that's one thing, when Supervisor Kellstrom and I came in, we were in the middle of some litigation that some of it we didn't even know about. The board wasn't even told that we were being sued, which is a whole other show in of itself of the things that were hid from us. But I really want Supervisor-elects Harmon, Plummer, and Long to be able to have a clean slate as best as possible. So that's one of the things I'm really working on. So you're going to see quite a few things coming on the consent calendar as well as just the regular calendar, and just trying to tie a lot of these loose ends up. So with that, we're going to jump into some of this election stuff. And I want to be able to articulate some things that have really been troubling for me, problematic that I've seen go on in the past, and it wasn't improved upon at all with this election, and the majority of that is because of the issues we had with the ballot overspray, and then having to duplicate ballots, and then having to duplicate the duplicated ballots, and what a nightmare that has been. One of the things, if you remember back in the primary or the general or the failed recall attempt, I would do videos about the drops and knowing what those numbers were. Now, again, I had zero, zero, zero experience or exposure to any of that stuff prior to June of 22. But in June of 22, and I didn't even know this was a thing, but the election, all the different polls would put what were called tapes, printouts from the machines, from the tabulators at the different precincts, and they'd post those to the door. So many of us in 22 went and took pictures of all the different poll tapes to get an idea of election day votes and what was, when somebody goes into the precinct and they take their ballot out of the envelope and they ran it through the tabulator, or they surrendered their ballot and got a provisional, I don't know if it's called a provisional ballot, but they'd get a paper ballot and then they'd fill that out and they'd run that through the tabulator. That's election day votes. So what we saw in 22 was, a very, very, very high vote total leaning towards the conservatives. And again, most of these races are nonpartisan, but anybody's kidding themselves if they say that things are nonpartisan. I mean, people are very, very, look at the last two candidates we had, right? You had Kamala Harris and you had President Trump. So, I mean, there is no this one is like this and there's a blending. No, it's pretty separate. Like, if you support one or the other, and there's the ideology, there really is no middle ground in that. So I think we're even seeing that with some local elections to a point, not every race, but to a point. And with those poll tapes, we noticed, or I noticed, and so did many others, about how those numbers fell. So when I started to extrapolate out that data, and Eric Jensen, who was a candidate for the district attorney, really did a lot of this work initially in 22. And I think that's what started a lot of the conversation about the machines and ballot drops and, where things are coming. Because I think he was at like almost... he was in the mid 70% in a lot of precincts. So what I realized in this is that then it starts getting into voter turnout. So how many votes were cast? Where did they come from? What precincts? When are they dropping them? So in those three elections, the primary, the general, and then the failed recall, is I learned what batches of ballots were going to be dropped and when. So I always kind of knew, okay, this next batch is going to be mail-in votes that came, at X amount of time. And if they came from this precinct, that isn't a precinct that I usually did well. I didn't do well in. So I would know that the percentage may be better than the original vote drop, everything collected before election day. Because that was always the worst one. I mean, the worst drop for me personally was always the ballot drop. That was the very, very first one, because that was people that got their mail-in ballot like, you know, 30 days prior to election day, filled it out and sent it in that day. I mean, so those are the ones that historically I did the worst in. So with this election now, because the way they did it, and there was, you know, the A card and the B card and what was submitted, it was just an absolute train wreck, because there was no and when I say train wreck, I'm saying for somebody like myself who had taken the time in the past to understand what ballot drops came when and how to predict that out, you couldn't do that with this one, because it was so – they had to pull from precincts that basically had there was less duplication, or – and people talked about how many ballots were all over the ROV office. Well, that was because they had to duplicate so many, they were running out of space to put these things. So I could go on and on about all the things that, I saw in the very, very little time I was there. But this is at no fault of Tom Toller or the election staff, by and large, because I can't articulate, because I wasn't there and seeing every single thing that some of the observers possibly saw. But I just know while I was there, there was a lot of things like that that were troubling. But what I also saw was I saw, like, Nolda Short, who's our auditor controller. I saw, I think she pulled like a 12 or 14 or 16 hour shift. I saw a lot of people, a lot of county employees pitching in, going over counting ballots, helping with that process. And that was really encouraging, because it's a lot of employees rallying around a department that needed that extra help. So where does this leave us going forward? So this is what, you know, when we talk about the board and what our jurisdiction is. And this is what's really, really, I think, I don't want to say troubling, but I want people to understand this. When people say, you know, hey, in public comment, you can't certify the results. You can't certify the results. You got to vote against that. And, you know, in our last election and the recall, the failed recall, the board voted 4-1. But I'm going to read a little bit of this so people understand. So election code 15-400, it uses the term shall declare. So shall declare related to the elections, and it's mandatory language. Now, what that means is what the Board of Supervisors has to do is, we're not saying we believe these results, or we're saying that these are accurate and, you know, we believe there's, you know, nothing wrong with these. That's not what we're doing. So I'm going to read just 15-400 for you. It's not super long, but it says, the governing body shall declare elected or nominated to each office voted on at each election under its jurisdiction the person having the highest number of votes for that office, or who was elected or nominated under the exceptions noted in Section 14-542. The governing board also shall declare the results of each election under its jurisdiction as to each measure voted on that in that election. And that was enacted in 94. So what this is this is just the board saying, hey, the ROV office has declared this. The ROV is sending this into the Secretary of State. All we're saying is this is what's been reported to us. So if the ROV tells us these are the results, we're just declaring this is what they've told us. That's it. We're not saying it's right or anything else. Now, what can we do as a Board of Supervisors? And this is where I want to be very, very blunt. Is, I mean, this gives me all the more reason why I've had huge issues with Dominion, because what we've had is we've had more items outside of our control in the county affect the trust and the process of our elections. And so, you know, the board has already spoken about sending a letter to the Department of Justice asking for clarification about, you know, how can we, and this is ROV Toller, because this is his discretion, how can he certify these results when we have all of these issues? Now, I think Tom, again, and I've said this, I think he's extremely integrous, has high character, he's a good man. I would have maybe done some things a little differently. But who doesn't? I mean, that's Monday morning armchair quarterback kind of stuff. I think the real test is going to be, what does Tom do going forward to enhance and bring trust back to this process? Because one of the things that, you know, him and I spoke about, actually we spoke about this yesterday, is, you know, I want a local ballot printer. And I want to do that for two reasons. I want to do that because I don't think we need to have another state producing our stuff, but also from an economy standpoint, I'd rather keep that money here. So there are two people that I spoke with months and months and months ago, and there wasn't enough time to do it for this election, but now there's over a year. So I would really, really request that Tom Toller work with a couple, two or three different vendors here locally who can go through the certification process, get whatever credentials or whatever they need so our ballots can be printed here in Shasta County, because again, it keeps the money here. But then also, if somebody has, if there's any issues, we're not waiting for something from another state to get here for that. So that's one of the first things I would really like to do. And then also, we have to really figure out, when we talk about meaningful observation, I mean, that building on Market Street is terrible for observation. It's not, I mean, the fact that we talk about the Bat Cave and these other little rooms or these other little hallways that have names, I mean, it's not conducive at all to observation. So I would really like to see what we could do building-wise. And this isn't going to happen tomorrow or even next month, but I do believe we have to make some much better strides in that. And again, Mr. Toller was very upfront about this, was about going through this election. I mean, I know his staff, there was a handful of them that had actually been through an entire election. You know, there was some talk that a bunch of people had quit recently. That's not true. I mean, there was a few people that quit, but it's been there. I think 10 people have quit over the last, I don't even know, 12 to 18 months. I mean, it was spread out over a very, very long period of time, as far as I'm told. And that's from, you know, coming from people at the county who deal with personnel and things of that nature. So that's where we are right now. The counting was essentially done prior to Thanksgiving. They have, I guess, a handful of ballots left where they're able to. And I know Tom Toller did a press conference. I didn't see it, but I did when I talked with him yesterday. Talked briefly about they got a lot of stuff done so people could enjoy the 4-day weekend. So that those remaining ballots, a couple thousand ballots, I think, are going to be counted tomorrow, and then they'll be able to send those results to the Secretary of State, and then that'll come before the board again to declare the results on December 10th. So that's where that is right now as far as it relates to the elections. I know that they did hand count. I mentioned in my video last week that I wanted to have one race fully recounted, and they by hand, and they did do that with the Happy Valley race up to, I want to say, he gave me a date. It was, I want to say, November, was it 22nd or 26th, up to, they counted up to that point. And so, again, not optimal at all, but I think this is going to create a much more meaningful conversation. I know one of the supervisor elects, we spoke about this, and I don't remember if I said the individual's name, so I won't say his name right now, but you know, he had talked about he'd like to see what it would take to get these ballots counted, you know, in 48 to 72 hours and what that cost would be. And it was the same conversation I had with Kathy Darling Allen and Joanna. And then those conversations, you know, stopped very, very early on in 23. So with that, we're going to take a short break here in a second. Again, if you want to call in, 530-605-4567. Again, that number is 530-605-4567. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the different results of some of the races, some of them that surprised me, and then also, you know, what this means going forward with things that I think the municipalities, the cities, the city of Shasta Lake, city of Anderson, city of Redding, and the county can work on together. So I look forward to that. So with that, we'll take a short break, and we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Turtle Bay's 5th annual Redding Garden of Lights is back for another fun-filled holiday season, open on select dates from November 22nd through January 5th. Featuring over 10 acres of outdoor illuminated gardens filled with 2 million lights, don't miss this year's new additions, including new light displays and premium ticket packages. Plus, holiday-themed food, drinks, music, glowing swings, model trains, and much more. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Redding businesses, listen up. Black Bear Diner is now offering catering for events, meetings, and gatherings. Fuel your team with our delicious homestyle meals that everyone will love. Ready to make your next event a hit? Visit blackbeardiner.com for more information and place your order. Black Bear Diner, your go-to for great food and good times.
Black Bear Diner.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. We'd just like to thank Redding Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
All right, we are back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. We do have a couple callers stacked up. So, again, if you want to call in, 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. We're going to go to our first caller. Steve, are you there?
Yes, Kevin, thank you very much. I appreciate your shows a lot. It's very empowering up here, and I keep working at it, trying to get people to understand what you guys are doing down there in Shasta County.
Is this Siskiyou Steve up in Siskiyou County?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes. I've had some experience now with two very, very mentally ill people, trying to help them and get them into a position where they're fully cared for. And it's very, 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 very difficult. Right now I have a friend down there in Red Bluff.
Hey, Steve, get me a question if you can. What question can I answer?
Okay, well, the question is, you went to the conference in L.A., and I'm just wondering, you know, because this is all across California.
Correct.
How much attention was paid to what we're going to do for facilities for full care, where they're actually put in full care facilities, beds, and taken off of the street, because you know the problem.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Well, I really appreciate the call, Steve. And so here's what I can tell you. The CSAC had a lot of breakouts, and I think some of them were actually filmed, and you might even be able to get not a court reporter, but if somebody recorded or, you know, typed out, like, all the different actions and things that happened, I would encourage you to go look at that. There was some breakouts. What I will tell you is one of the things that I'm working on right now is creating a Shasta Rural Medical School with Dr. Danuka, and there's quite a few of us actually working on this now. We do absolutely have to have some mental health and detox beds, but they need to be at a very, very high level. Some of the people that are wanting to do this, actually, the level of care or the level of certification needed is far lower, but we already have some of those in an outpatient, you know, 24-hour type places. We need to have the level of care or certification where we can take individuals who, you know, are incarcerated or have a much, much more severe need, because there's funding issues related to that. And that's actually, I mean, we're the medical hub for 14 rural counties here. Shasta County is. So there's a lot of things we're working on with that. CSAC did spend some time on that, but, I mean, you could spend a whole week just on that with Prop 1 dollars and the things that are needed. Okay, I'm going to go to our second caller. Nick, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Hey, Mr. Gardner. How you doing, sir?
I'm terrific. Things are good with me. I haven't talked to Chris Kelstrom about this, but I look at the fact that the first half of your term as chair was taken up by the failed recall and the budget hearings, And I'm going to start rattling the cage about renaming you chair again for this next year. I just wondered if you'd be open to that.
Well, I mean, that goes to a vote, and that's something that the new board will vote on in January. So,
Yeah, but how do you feel about it? Would you be willing to do that? Or
Nick, you're asking me this on air. Darn you. No, it's fine. No, I mean, of course, like, for me, I'll just tell you, like, I have a lot better what's the word? I mean the reason I'm self-employed is I like to be able to work on things at a higher level and surround myself with a lot smarter people in different areas. So I would definitely be open to it, but that's going to be a discussion for the next board. One of the things I'll tell you is we're in the middle of working on a ton of stuff, so I think continuity is important, but at the same time, it's really going to come down to what the board feels, what Supervisor Kellstrom wants, as well as the three supervisor elects. I mean, I just want to get great work done, and I think what is going to be really shocking to people is it's going to get super boring at 1450 Court Street next year. I think we're going to have a lot of like 5-0, 4-1 votes. I think very, I'm very certain that if there's disagreements, we're just going to have a nice discussion. We're going to vote, and then we're just going to move on. There's not going to be any baiting. There's not going to be any politicizing of stuff. There's not going to be any people trying to work, against one another. Because I've already had tough conversations with all three of the other supervisors on issues we disagree with, but they were nice. And when I say tough discussions, it's just like, hey, like we can have the discourse to say, hey, this is how I feel, this is how you feel. One of the things I'm excited about is I can tell you I want to work on some law enforcement stuff with Supervisor-elect Long. I'm already working with Supervisor-elect Plummer on some opioid dollar and HHSA items. I will say Supervisor-elect Corky Harmon is probably going to work the closest with Supervisor Kellstrom because their expertise is more in public works and in resource management, and with District 1, I have a little sliver of Pine Grove. That's an unincorporated area, basically. So for me, like, those aren't departments I talk to a lot, so I would assume Supervisor Kellstrom and Supervisor-elect Harmon will be working pretty closely together. But I'm excited to work with five different people on different things. So whether I'm chair or not, I'm just excited to turn this page. I'm definitely going to miss Supervisor Jones, only because he's a person that he's walked the walk, and he's been in the trenches for a ton of years. And whether you disagree or personally like or dislike Supervisor Jones, I mean, his commitment to the county and getting involved, there's not many people that have been involved to the degree he has for the length of time he has. And my hat's off to that for sure. But
liven things up this next year. I got the number of all the failed recallers. I'll get them to start attending meetings again.
please. Nick, you're too funny. All right. Well,
have a great day.
You too, sir. All right, going to our next call. Ken, are you there? Ken, are you there? All right. David, do we have a Ken? David, are you there? Okay, so we'll get Ken back, no problem.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely here. Ken is not here.
Okay, Ken's not. So, Ken, if you're listening, go ahead and call back in, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Okay, so, I learned a lot this past election, and this is one of the things, too, that I'll even touch on. You look at, like, Measures P and Q. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, man, I didn't understand them, or I was voting no on all these propositions, so I just voted no, and it's just, and these aren't people that I'm really like close with, but just people I know, or they were confused. And, you know, what I learned in this process with those, and this is where you talk about collaboration. Like, I didn't do, I guess you'd say, the work of going and getting, like, you know, like, let's say, former Mayor Mike DeQuisto, or, rep for Senator Dolly, Bruce Ross. I mean, different people who supported P&Q and say, yeah, why wouldn't you? They're no brainers. But other people worked very hard on, confusing the public. And the irony for me is what people said was this is a power grab. And it was the exact opposite. So now, the Board of Supervisors, retains more power than I think they should. So I'll just tell everybody, we're going to run those back. We're going to rewrite those. We're going to educate the public a little bit better, and we're going to build consensus with more people, because P&Q, those were just big-time no-brainers when it comes to the charter. And that's the other thing, too. I've told all the incoming supervisors, I say, hey, if there's issues that or there's items that you want to incorporate into the charter, like, be thinking about those, because, and I'd love to talk to you about them, because that's one of the things I want to really focus on the next couple of years, is just making this charter more robust. And I'm actually working with some high school and college kids about doing some internships, and one of the main project they're going to do is they're going to hold some community, I won't call them workshops, but just being able to craft and create what they want our charter to be. And I'm not talking about these individuals, but just getting the community more involved, because there's still a lot of people that really just vote in the big presidential elections, and they don't even think about school boards, bonds, measures, et cetera. And that's important to me that we do that. Are we back, Dave? All right. So, Ken, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Kevin, good morning. Calling from your favorite neighborhood.
Ken. Oh, man. Ken lives in a precinct that we call the belly of the beast. It is by far my worst precinct. But Ken, man, you are a phenomenal human being. You and your bride, Christy, I'm just thankful for you guys, and I'm thankful for, and just so people that know, Ken's called in before. It's probably been maybe about a year, but Ken was the very, very first voter that I flipped from the primary to the general. And I would say, and I know this, there's no way I win my general election in 22, and I don't beat the recall without Ken, because Ken is a person that's never been politically involved, and he still wouldn't really call himself politically involved, but now he really makes sure his neighbors and other people know what's going on, because, in your words, Ken, you were never involved. So there's the prelude for you, Ken.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you, Kevin. And I didn't even know what district I lived in, honestly, before I called you, so for the first time. But, just two things real quick. The first one is excellent job. Great job this morning on explaining the voting process. And that's what I like about you. You explain processes in government, because when people don't understand, people tend to have conspiracy theories, and that's never good. And you're able to explain it to the common person how government works, cut through the red tape, and a lot of us greatly appreciate it. It's down to the basic level, because a lot of us have no idea what goes on, and it really prevents a lot of mistrust in government. And so we really appreciate that.
The second thing is,
any news, with the airport, and it's probably premature, as far as more outbound flights to, areas that Reading folks might travel to? Any news on new carriers or getting one back?
Yeah, that's a great question. And thanks for calling, Ken. I do know, I believe on the December 10th, agenda, and again, I'll have agenda review this Wednesday, but I believe the EDC is going to be coming back to the county and asking for an additional $100,000, and I think they're doing this to a few different groups to guarantee the Denver flight. Or, you know, there's I think the number, I don't know if it was $1 million or $2 million, the EDC was what do you call it? It's a the airline needs a guarantee of how much, you know, they're going to be able to bill. So basically it's an insurance policy. So if they don't fill these flights, there's a minimum that the airline is still guaranteed. So hopefully when this flight to Denver goes, it's packed, and the county or the other entities that have fronted the money to say, hey, you know, here's the guarantee, your fair guarantee for the year, that wouldn't be used. So, yeah, that is, to my knowledge, coming back on the 10th or the 19th of December, and that's continuing to move forward, and I believe they're looking to add that in the spring. Now, again, I will say Supervisor Kellstrom, and this was something I brought up a couple years ago, but I still think there is an opportunity for an airport authority, like a regional airport authority. And but that's going to start with the city of Reading and what they decide they want to do. So,
that would be fabulous, Kevin, because, you know, a lot of us are just getting tired of driving to SAC, although it's so economical and makes nothing but sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would prefer, and again, I'm one of the people that do. I rarely fly out of Reading. I tend to drive to Sacramento. I fly Southwest. You know, right. My wife has right. a companion pass, so she flies everywhere for free if I go. And one of the things, though, is just the lack of flights. So it's the chicken or the egg. You know, you have to get more flights, you have to book more flights. But to book more flights, you have to be on those initial flights. So, you know, I've right. made a commitment, and this was more with Jim Wadley when he was the director at the time. But, you know, I think from a tourism standpoint, we definitely have to bolster the airport. But, there, you know, there are some other things, and I won't get into a big airport conversation.
No.
But I do appreciate the call, and I know that – I mean, I'll definitely, I can't say what the board's going to vote, but I'll definitely support, you know, with the fare guarantee for the airline to get that flight to Denver, because I think that's going to open up a lot of stuff. So thanks for calling, Ken. I appreciate it. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, thank you, Kevin.
You bet. All right. Next caller, Nelda. Thank you for being patient. Are you there, Nelda?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks. Well, thank you. I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for all you've been doing. And I'm sure you've already talked about the hand counting. I kind of got on here late, but I would really like to see us hand count more than one race. And I know we have a group of wonderful volunteers that are more than willing to do that, which I've been watching some other counties and states, and they're doing that, and it's been more cost effective. So I hope that you guys will look into that and that we can do something like that, because this is insane that we're waiting this long to get our election results. And again, thank you for all you've done for us.
No, you bet. I appreciate that, the call and the sentiments. One of the things, and I know this is something that, you know, often we talk about with AB 969, the state made it basically illegal for, I believe, all but one county to hand count. Now, one of the things with Tom Toller being a former prosecutor in a district attorney's office, and you know, he's not practicing law anymore because obviously he's our ROV. But I think there's a lot that we're going to be able to look at, because this to me, and again I've said this was such a cluster. And so, like, what's the next thing? Like, ballot overspray? Like, you know, you can only, like, in sports, you can only, like, you know, war game or, you know, go through so many different, you know, examples of what could happen. So, like, you know, down and distance in football, if, you know, if we're behind by this many points and we've got this much time left and we're at this part of the field, here's what we're going to do. So you plan a lot of that type of stuff out, regardless of the sport. Well, in elections, like, I don't even know, like, what the next, I mean, ballot overspray, like, that isn't something that was even, I don't think, on anybody's radar. And so, you know, I think we have to really continue to be vigilant and say, this is ridiculous. Like, we're not that big of a county. We're talking 90,000 votes. And I think the conversation is going to, you know, it's not going to go away. And I don't think it should, because it's still ridiculous that we have to wait this long. In California, again, some of this doesn't make it easy, but, you know, we could have 70 or 80% of our votes counted, I think, very easily in, you know, 2, 3, 4 days. So, all right, we're going to go to our next caller. Nelda, thank you for calling in again. Lori. Lori, are you there? Hello, Lori. You there?
Yep, I am.
Oh, hey, Lori. How you doing?
Good. Oh, I thought it was still the producer. Good morning, Kevin. Yes, happy Thanksgiving weekend. And, yes, you've been through more than I could ever describe for somebody that, you know, your everyday common person just going, okay, I'll take my turn and help. Here's a couple questions. It's election-related. Are we able to find out and determine what happened with Joanna Frescott going to Nevada County, because they had a similar situation with Hart Intercivic and Runbeck? And then the next question, is it possible, or what is required to declare an emergency board meeting to kind of review some of this? I mean, there's so much.
Okay, so your two questions. Well, one with Joanna Franciscat, she's the assistant ROV, so she reports to Tom Toller. So if we want to, you know, what we could do is we could ask, and we will. I mean, and when I say we will, I'm not saying it's necessarily going to be the 10th or the 19th, but we do have to unpack, like, all this that happened, because even some of the supervisor-elects that have been a part of this process, I mean, it's been super wonky. I mean, for Supervisor-elect Corky Harmon. Now, granted, you know, he was up by a huge margin after election night, but there's still a waiting process. And then Supervisor-elect Long, I mean, he had obviously a process with his. So you have two of the three incoming who had some, you know, serious, you know, questions and issues, so to speak, with their elections, that I think that they would want to make that process more seamless for anybody else going forward. And I would be in that same boat with, you know, my three elections and the time that that took. So I don't think the conversation's going to go away. So with Joanna, as far as Nevada County, that's going to be something that ROV Taller maybe will be asked when he comes up, because we wouldn't call the assistant ROV in to answer those questions. And then, yeah, and then the second part, what was your second question?
About if there's a way to declare an emergency
meeting, right,
because of this.
Okay, so
certifying it, is it perfunctory to certify?
Okay, so no, that's perfect. I don't mean to cut you off, but yeah, I remember. So I talked about this early at the beginning of the show. Like, what the supervisors do is we declare results. So if Tom Taller, ROV, comes in and says, you know, these are the results, we just say, hey, we hear you say these are the results. That's what you tell us. That's what we're voting on. Having a special board meeting, that's why I think that this letter to the Department of Justice is going to be really interesting, because, you know, we want their opinion on this, because you have all these logic and accuracy tests and all these hoops that everybody's supposed to jump through. But yet when all this happens, I mean, we're not doing these, to my knowledge, and if I'm misspeaking, I would definitely apologize or stand corrected, but, you know, the sending the duplicator machines in, and then those machines weren't duplicating the ballots correctly, and then the images weren't, you know, there's just too many questions. It's just wonky. So we're going to ask the, you know, Department of Justice, you know, on their opinion on certification. Like, how do you rectify, or how do you, you know, make this, how is this justified? How is this process, like, really as clean and easy as it's supposed to be? And we're still waiting to hear back from Hart on the audit logs. I mean, there's all these questions, and there shouldn't be. I mean, it's really ridiculous. I mean, elections was never my, my thing. My thing has always been, you know, government transparency, corruption type stuff. And when I say type stuff, like what I said while campaigning versus what I know now, and again, in these next couple of meetings, we're going to tie up some loose ends very publicly about some things that have gone on in the county. So so that's coming. So what I'll tell you is, you know, kids, and I've got to do, and that's probably where I'm the most disappointed in, is how much I've got to really lean into some areas to impact kids and young families' lives, and then small business. And then with law enforcement, I mean, I've got a great working relationship with Sheriff Johnson. We're working on some stuff, and I think with Supervisor-elect Alan Long coming on, we're going to get even more stuff done. But again, Supervisor Jones, Supervisor Kelsen are very pro-law enforcement, and they've been great to work with as well. So, hey, Lori, thank you for calling in so much. I appreciate it. That's a good point. When I say elections isn't really my thing, I mean, I think the propensity and the opportunity to cheat in a lot of this stuff, like anything, like credit card fraud, like cheating on a test in school, any of that, I mean, it has always existed and it's still there. Why we can't continue to just ratchet down and make it harder and harder and harder for any type of outside influence, I don't understand why anybody would be against that. And I don't think most people are, but at the same time, there's people that, I mean, this is what they do. So that's one thing about being in elected office. You roll with the punches and you have what comes for you. I mean, I remember Supervisor Kellstrom at one of our first CSAC New Supervisor Institute meetings. The very first day, they talked about how your schedule, when you're a supervisor or an elected official, your schedule isn't always your own, because something can happen and boom, you're gone. And so that was on Saturday. We talked about that. Well, or whatever day that was. It was maybe a Friday or a Thursday. So then on Friday morning, Supervisor Kellstrom, like, was literally at the meeting for like 10 minutes because we had the big snowstorm in Shingletown. So he had to just bail out and go home. And so he didn't even get to go to the second day because of what we just talked about how your schedule's not always your own. And if there's fires or other natural disasters, I mean, that's just kind of what it is. So with this elections thing, this is just something that is very personal to me, because I think you know, for a person that has been in three very close elections, and when you go to a door and somebody says, yeah, my vote doesn't matter. I'm not voting. I mean, that's a really tough pill to swallow, and you want people to believe in the sanctity of their vote. And you look at the Happy Valley race. The Happy Valley race, I believe, was at two right now. I mean, they're separated by two votes. Now, granted, there's only a few hundred, you know, or less than maybe a couple thousand total people that have, you know, voters that have cast a ballot. But still, if you have, you know, you're taking the top two and there's three or four people in the race, which I'm not sure how many there are, but, you know, difference of two, like, that's nothing. That's one family deciding just to take the stuff off the coffee table, fill it in, and drop it in the mail or take it down to the elections office. So anyway, thank you for everybody that did call in. We do have a couple more minutes, 530-605-4567. I'm going to rattle off some of the things here that I've had a lot of questions and text messages about since I've even been sitting here. The swearing-in date, Supervisor Plummer have already been sworn in. I believe Supervisor-elect Corky Harmon is probably going to get sworn in here in the next week, I would assume. I know that when Leonard Modi was recalled and Tim Garmin, well, he did win. He had the most votes. And he was sworn in publicly. So for whatever reason, Supervisor Kallstrom and myself were sworn in publicly. But I guess prior to COVID, they just swore in the supervisors off to the side and they did it that way. So that's what we returned to. And I think that's more just for timing as well. The meeting on December 19th is a night meeting that is at 5:30. That's going to be three of the supervisors' last meeting, so I would encourage people to come out, say your thank yous, say your goodbyes. Keep it very, very respectful. Whether you like any of the three supervisors or not, I think it's important that they're given the platform and the honor that they deserve in terms of serving an elected office. Obviously, Supervisor Garmin was there a short time, but Supervisor Rickert, Supervisor Jones, it's a long time in elected office and public service, and I would want that to be a very positive experience for them and their families. All right, we do have a caller. Joe, are you there?
I am.
How you doing?
My question, I'm fine. How are you, Kevin?
Doing great, thank you.
My question is about observations
okay.
of the election process. I was involved in observing, this has been several years ago, probably about 12 years ago,
We only have about 2 minutes. We have about 2 minutes, so ask your question real quick if you can.
Okay. I sat at the same table. I want to know why and how we can say that people are able to observe if they're 10 or 20 feet away.
I think that is a absolutely reasonable request. So what I would tell you is this is why it's important what happens in the next 30 or 60 days. Once this election's over, you know, I'm going to ask Tom Toller to come back. And when I say I'm saying I in terms of as a supervisor, I would like him to come back in early January and debrief for the board everything that he saw and what the plan is going forward. And maybe that'll be late July. It definitely won't be in December. It definitely won't be in December. Okay. But there's a lot of stuff that needs to be fixed. And again, you know, I bring a lot of stuff back to sports, but you know, you get somebody on a new team, you can't say, oh man, you're 2 for 12 in your first 12 at bats. This was a terrible investment or this was a terrible decision. It's like, you know, you got to give people a chance to get their feet wet. Now, what ROV Toller, Tom Toller does in the next 30 or 60 days is really going to, I mean, I'm going to reserve my opinion for him to get through this election and then see what changes. What he's seen, what he wants to do going forward, because this isn't going away. I mean, we've been talking about this stuff since the hanging Chad in Florida with Gore and Bush. I mean, the election conversation isn't going away, but it needs to be expedited because, you know, I felt strongly personally about Tom Toller with his integrity and his character. Now it's going to be a chance. It's going to be a question of his leadership. Okay, how is his leadership? How are his leadership skills? We have to move this forward. We have to have better observation. 20 feet is not okay. But again, I do see the room though. And when you look at some of these videos that I have seen online, I mean, you're talking about school gymnasiums or really, really large entities. And so we have to do a better job, and we have to do the better job at scale. Thanks for calling, Joe. I appreciate it. So we have about 45 seconds left. And again, tomorrow morning on Facebook, At 7 a.m., I'll go live. I'll unpack some stuff a little bit deeper. But again, the DHE program, the Department of Highway Enforcement, that's going to be coming. The impact fees, and then how that money's been spent, why there's money still left, why was that ever collected if it wasn't being spent? That's one of the things. We have the RFP with tourism that's going to be coming back. We have a lot of health initiatives, the opioid dollars, kids programs. We talked about nonprofit financials and some other things. So, hey, listen, it has been a fast week and a fast show. I appreciate everybody, and tune in tomorrow morning at Facebook Live at Vote Kevin Cry. Have a great rest of your week.